I was caught by our opening prayer at Mass as we were praying it today that it said that we thanked God in that opening prayer, the collect of our Holy Mass tonight, because he has given us a remedy, a medicine for sin. And it's prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, which we are doing intensely, hopefully, this Lenten season. But that we have a gift by God given to us that is a medicine for our sin. And that's our prayer, fasting, almsgiving. And when we truly enter into that, then we can defeat the enemy. Praise our Lord. I wanted to reflect on this gospel. It's very beautiful. I was praying with it last night in the chapel, and I just kind of closed my eyes, and I imagined myself being the woman, and I imagined myself being Jesus. And as I did the latter, I imagined myself being Jesus, and I just imagined, hopefully this is how we live our lives, or try to anyway, and he looks at this woman, this broken down and bruised and burdened and ostracized and rejected and used and troubled, and he looks at this woman not with any judgment but with love, and he looks at her with this gaze of mercy, this gaze of I love you. And there were no lectures on what a mess you made of your life, and there was no criticism, there was no judgment, no anger. If you had only done what he told you. Instead, it was Jesus just looking with love. And there's that beautiful moment in the scriptures where it talks about how Jesus looks at Matthew, and it says, Jesus looking at him, loved him. And is that how we live? Is that how we look? You know, when we look at people who maybe drive us up the wall, people who we are tempted to judge or categorize or good for nothing. You know. But do we look at them with love? Because I think that's an important lesson from this gospel. So then I imagine myself too being this woman. And at first, she is quite clear from the gospel that she doesn't know that this is Jesus at first. And I imagine that there she is at the well. It was noon. One of the reasons we pray the Angelus at noon is because of this. We remember that God comes to us in the midst of everything, including our sin, right? That the Angelus, the Annunciation, the Incarnation, like Jesus is here, you know? But it's noon, and nobody else would have been there because all the other people get their water early in the morning or late at day. Because why? Because it's super duper duper hot during the middle of the day. And yet there she is. And she deliberately would go at noon, scripture scholars believe, is because it was a small price to pay, the misery of walking in that unbearable heat to avoid the judgment of people. Because nobody would have been more on the outskirts, more rejected, more looked down upon, more outcast than this woman who had been married 5 times. It's lucky she didn't get stoned. And here she is with another guy. And all of her troubled life, and she was just so tired of everybody judging her all the time. So she would go at noon when nobody else would be there. But there's Jesus. And I kind of was putting myself there thinking, like, what is she thinking? Like, what does he want with me? Does he want the same thing every other man has wanted with me? What does he want? You know? And she quickly comes to realize, she says, he is a prophet. You know, there's something different about this one. There's something different about him. And by the way, we as Christians, especially as Catholics, the way we live, there should be something very different about us. That when we go to people, they recognize that, oh my gosh, like this is a different sort of person. Like this person isn't just here to use. or just to, like, but this person loves. And she realizes, she says, he must be a prophet, you know, and there's something different about him. And then she comes to realize that he's God. And then I was just in my holy hour thinking, like, oh my gosh, now she's coming to realize that this just might be the Messiah, but what does he want with me? You know, is he coming to judge me? Is he coming to tell me that I'm the total opposite of a saint, of what he wants me to be? Is he coming to strike me with a lightning bolt? What is he coming to do? To punish me? To give me a sermon on how bad I am? But instead she gets something quite different. She gets a proposal. Because do you realize, I was reading, we're going through in our daily prayer that we priests pray every day, we're reading through the story, through Exodus. We do that every Lent because Lent is Exodus. We're going to the promised land, baby. We're going to Easter and we're leaving Egypt behind in all its slavery, and we're going with our prayer, fasting, almsgiving to the promised land of the sacraments of the life of the church, which, by the way, in the first reading, the rock in the desert is a prefiguring of the Catholic Church, where all you got to do is strike on it and then out comes the water, the salvific waters. And guess what? That's Jesus Christ on the cross. The waters of and the blood of our blessed Lord flowing out. This is all prefigured even in the Old Testament. But we were reading the other day about Moses and Zipporah, and they got engaged at a well. And then I thought, well, gosh, you know, didn't Jacob and Rachel, they got engaged at a well? And then I looked up and I thought, well, sure enough, Isaac and Rebekah was a well. That a well was of, like, in every first century Jew would have like this context of a well is like, whoa, because what does Jesus want with this woman? He wants her. I thirst, he says. Which, by the way, is this, he says that from the cross too. And he says that from the monstrance in the chapel to every single soul that goes before him. I thirst for you. I thirst. That Jesus, St. Augustine said, everything that we eat becomes a part of us. I had Mexican for lunch. I eat Mexican at least once a day. I love it. But I am no more a burrito than I was before I ate a burrito. The burrito became part of me. But, and it's true at the Eucharist, Jesus becomes part of us. But St. Augustine said there's something else that happens when we receive Holy Communion. The Eucharist, Jesus doesn't just become part of us. He consumes us. He eats and consumes us so that we're caught up together. And do you realize that's what that's what the craziness of this gospel is that Jesus picked the biggest outcast and he went to her and he said, God wants to marry you. God loves you that much. That much. And this is what he says to us in the sacraments. And we're blessed that at 3 out of the 4 masses we have these readings. Today at the 8:30 mass we'll have different readings and a whole different homily. So you can watch that for extra penance tomorrow morning. But what's why is because Leslie is our catechumen who is here tonight. And we'll have several catechumens at 10 o'clock mass and at 12:15 mass. What are they getting ready for? They're getting ready to go to the rock that is actually Jesus Christ, the well that is infinitely deep, actually plumbed to another world, to heaven. And that this well is that deep that it goes all the way to heaven, and the sacraments of the church come to this world in and through Jesus Christ, who is alive, and into Leslie at Easter Vigil. And into all of our catechumens at Easter Vigil. And into all of us who are already here at the Holy Moses. This is the best thing ever. This is the best thing ever that we get to be married to God. Now, this is why we Catholics have priests and nuns in a special way, consecrated people, to remind us that that's ultimately what it's all about, is to get to heaven. But everybody else, too. It's the same thing. Everybody is invited to get married to God. And that's ultimately what heaven is. And that's what this woman at the well, why she left. She leaves her jug, she throws her jug behind, and she runs out and she tells everybody what just happened. And then they experience Jesus too. And hopefully we are doing that with our experiences of the sacraments. I went to confession yesterday to Father Paul, and I'm free! And I feel so good. And this holy priest, he is 96 years old, and he sat there with a detached retina and on a pillow, and he absolved my sins and obliterated them. I'm free! I'm happy! I'm more saintly now than I was the day before. And this is what we should be saying at the corners of the streets. And we should say, I received Jesus! Like, I didn't leave Mass early because I wouldn't want to leave Mass. Because I received Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, in my church! I'm a different person. I'm now Jesus, and Jesus is me. I'm so, like, this is what we need to be. This is the woman at the well, her experience. And this is what Leslie is going to be like after the Easter Vigil. There will be no stopping this girl. And it's going to be the most wonderful thing. And this is what the saints did. And this is what you and I are called to do. And so let's pray. Let us pray to follow the example of this beautiful woman at the well. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.